Hi, Bobby Halton here for our friends at Unimac. There's no price you can put on a life, including our own. Being proactive with our health and safety is non-negotiable. To protect against cancer-causing carcinogens, you need more than just clean gear. You need a total solution with the best equipment, the best technology, and the best training. That's why Unimac partnered with an NFPA-authorized independent service provider to offer certified training on NFPA 1851 standards. When it comes to keeping us and our fellow firefighters safe and healthy, demand the total package. Get the details at unimac.com/protect.
Hey, welcome back to our Fire Engineering Hump Day Hangout and to our show, Issues and Challenges in Today's Fire Service. I'm Chief Rick Lasky, along with my brother from another mother, Chief Assistant Chief Terry McGrath from Louisville, my co-host. And we have the rest of our team with us, our regular third Wednesday team here, Chief Bobby Halton, Chief Scott Thompson, and Chief John Salka. And we've got another great one lined up for you today. Joining our team, our two very special guests we'll get to in just a couple of minutes here. Chief Mark McNeil and Assistant Chief Mark Richards, two incredible chief officers and leaders and just great people. We'll tell you more about them in a little bit here. They're awesome, awesome. So as a reminder to those watching this, if you have any questions, zip over to Twitter and shoot us a message. Just make sure you add hashtag FE Talk. So we can grab it, or Pete will send it out to us. Our topic today is the core values of the fire service, and we're going to get to the Louisville Fire Department Creed. So welcome back, guys, and welcome Chief McNeil and Chief Richards.
Thank you. Good to be here today. Appreciate it.
We before we went live for our viewers, we had some fun telling stories. We won't get into any of those, but they were pretty good. And then Bobby sang a song for us, which was great. We're going to get him to do that during the opening of the FDIC as well. But hey, Bobby, Chief Halden, well, before we move on here, especially now that we're getting ready to creep into April, August is right around the corner. I know I am just out of my mind excited that going back to Indy for FDIC. I know we had to slide it to August the 19th to the 24th, but would you give us a quick update on the greatest conference in the world, buddy?
Well, it's all coming together. It's going to be interesting. We're going to be in August, so it's going to be hot, which means that, you know, we'll all be running the 5K in warmer weather, which will be great. So it's the normal lineup, except that we're starting basically on a Thursday. Normally we'd start on a Monday. So we're basically starting on a Thursday is going to be the first day of hot and workshops. So Thursday, Friday are hot and workshops. Saturday will be the opening ceremony. And we're going to be having the opening ceremony at the JW Marriott. We got the gigantic super ballroom there with fancy seats and everything else lined up so we can do the opening program in the JW Marriott, which will be great. We're going to have we get to honor Pat Kinney, who is just an incredible human being as the instructor of the year. We've got Mike Dugan getting lifetime achievement. We've got just some super, super stuff. We're going to have some wonderful keynoters. Steve Chikorotis is going to kick it off. And then we've got John Austin is going to be a featured speaker. And we've got the Conley brothers are going to be doing their thing. So, and I'm working on a guest appearance from somebody as soon as I hear back from, it'll be, you know, one of the surprise kind of people like Admiral Moore and Dr. Woods. We've got we may have a big surprise guest to bring up on the stage who I think people will really enjoy. So we've got some cool stuff going on there. And then obviously the classrooms are going to rock and roll on Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, it's gonna kind of wrap up. The floor is gonna open up on Saturday. The exhibit floor is gonna open up Saturday a little bit earlier. We're kind of squeezing it together a little bit to make it all fit, but we're still working on, you know, stop, drop, rock and roll, and comedy night, and the stair climb, and the 5K fun run, and the Fool's Bash, and the Union Party. All that stuff is gonna happen, and just because some of the dates will move around. Obviously, we're gonna move some of the dates and tighten some stuff up. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be crazy. And the kind of the neat thing that's happening is the cops are having a conference, kind of FOP. So it's going to be cops and firefighters. Oh. The jokes just write themselves. I mean, you know, it's, It's gonna be great, and they were very gracious to help us squeeze inside there with them, and so our thanks to the FOP for doing that and being as gracious as they've been and working with us. And so Illinois Fire Service Institute is going to be running their Writ Under Fire class, so we're going to have that going on, which is going to be incredible. The hands-on training is going to be the regular lineup. Now, there were a couple of people who had to two classes had to cancel because the schedule didn't work out for them, and we get that. So, but otherwise, it's full steam ahead, and everything's going to be kind of like it was, except hot. It'll be warm instead of worrying about freezing. You're going to be, we're going to be worrying about hydrating,
Which is weird
water hydrating,
because I'm sitting
and it
here.
is St. Patrick's Day, so don't go there. And happy St. Patrick's Day. If I could take one quick moment, Ricky, before we go too much further, especially for the volunteers on the call with me here. Heather Schaefer passed away unexpectedly yesterday. She served over 25 years as with the NVSC and did a wonderful job. She's just a lovely lady. If you ever had the chance to meet her, she always had a kind word. She was always bubbly and friendly. Just a great gal, and was a great representative of that organization. And she'll be sorely missed. And she just passed away unexpectedly yesterday. So our thoughts and prayers go out to our friends and family. It's a tough time, and she was just a really neat. If you've never had a chance to meet her, you missed a great opportunity because she was a neat gal. She was just a neat gal, and a very kind person, just a really kind person. So I feel blessed to have had a chance to know her, and to all her friends and family, may she rest in peace, and you're better for having known her.
Well, and Chief Danny Compton's been doing a really good job paying tribute to a lot of the female leaders in the fire service during this past month. And he did an incredible, Bobby, an incredible write-up on her. Very, very well done. And things I didn't know. And it was a great tribute. So I'm glad you brought her up. She's a wonderful person and touched a ton of people out there in their lives, as Denny talked about some of his stories, and just what you said now. So, move real quick, Terry. Are you back after all your guys? I mean, how many doses were you? So, Chief McNeil, when I asked Terry how it was going at the Speedway and all that, and how many doses, and I don't know, he says something like 150,000 in one day or something like that. How many draws were you doing in that back room with with the team that you were working with?
Well, I'm a lightweight. We've got some absolute professional vaccine drawers in this department, and we've got a rock star here who the other day did 1,500 in his shift. So it's about a 10, 9 hour shift. It's about a 9 hour shift in that vaccine draw, and it is. I tell everybody it's kind of like that scene from Breaking Bad where all the people are held hostage without any clothes in a dark room, and you're just stuffing drugs and bags for resale. It's about the equivalent of drawing vaccines in a building at the Texas Motor Speedway. But it's a grind of a day. But
Breaking Bad was actually filmed in Albuquerque, and
well, I
it's
didn't want to
pretty
bring
much
that up.
based on a true story. I'm just kidding.
So, but you know what, Chief? In the spirit of what the fire service is, it's in a long, long time, that is a grueling day out there, but it's a lot of fun, and it's fun because the firefighters make it fun. We're interacting and working with a group of extremely dedicated people in the public health departments from Denton County, and it is one of the most efficient operations I've ever witnessed. Everyone here in this office is taking place in it. As a matter of fact, before this show, I was just sending an email out to the Denton County fire chiefs because they want to add a fourth day next week, and I'm trying to make that a fire chief staff day out there. Give everybody the opportunity to get out from behind their desk and come on out and live that phrase, get you some. Anyway, it's been great. We have eclipsed. Yesterday we did 12,000, so that's as most of we've done in a day, which I think is the state record. And I think it's probably up there in the United States, and some a little old country county here in Texas put this thing together, and it's pretty impressive.
Well, Denton's far from a little old country county. You guys, and you're being very modest. You guys lead in more ways than we could mention in the hour we have on this show. But 1,500 drawn 1,500 votes, that's incredible. absolutely incredible. So, but thanks to everybody there for doing a great job. So, hey, let's jump into this. Let's jump into, before we went live, we were talking a little bit. I know John, I talked about this earlier, and we've done several different programs before on the command post for Bobby about core values, about your values, your vision, your mission, because it seems like the people who are always in a hot, as our friend John, Chief Kenny Gabriel would say, they're in a hot mess. The departments that seem to be in a hot mess all the time are the ones that have no values. They have nothing that they have their arms wrapped around. You know, when somebody decides or is thinking about taking a trip down that wrong path, there's not something to the left of them saying, hey, wait a minute, take a look at the stop signs or the speed limit signs over here. But John, I want to throw this one to you because we're going to go around the room here and then get to Chief McNeil and Chief Richards, because they've got something they've done, their whole department, that's incredible. John, all the years of the FDNY, and you're volunteer chief now in South Blooming Grove, but in the FDNY especially, we've talked about the Proby School. When they march out of there, and I mean march out of there, how dialed in they are. You said it after 9/11. I remember you being interviewed by the national news, and they said, you know, how are you guys going to make it? How are you guys going to do? You know, how's the FDI, the city of New York? And you had that, you made that little, I think we just talked about, you made that little bit of a grin, a little bit of a smile, and you said, we'll be just fine. And what a lot of people didn't realize was that the environment that the people like Ray Downey and Pete Gansey and, you know, Mike Kennedy, all the mentors and people you've talked about before did, was set this atmosphere, this environment in place that people, and you're the first one to say, you know, New York City, the New York City FDNY is not the perfect fire department, but man, they got a lot of stuff. I'll say they got a ton of stuff going on great. And one of it is how they instill the values of that organization within the FDNY. And that starts in Proby School, doesn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, obviously it's a big fire department, but I know plenty of medium-sized and small and whatever other categories you want to make up that do similar things. You know, if you start, you know, if you break them in right, I mean, nobody could ever argue with this. If you break your folks in right, I mean, you got a guy from a pizza place, a candlestick maker, and a, you know, race car driver, and they all take the fire department test, and suddenly there they all are together. Everybody's coming from 100 different places with 100 different perspectives on the world and you know, skills and abilities, and you gotta get them all on the same page and make them all know what's important. And the FDNY manages to do it. It's quite amazing. They have not special people, but they have particular people on the staff. Like they advertise for a DI, for a drill instructor when they have a Proby school. And that's his whole job for the Proby school. 23 weeks, however long it is, it changes every once in a while. And that's all he does. And then there's another guy whose whole job is teaching them, you know, what the right thing to do is all the time, how to make choices, how to make decisions, and how to do the right thing, you know. So it's just not Halligans and hooks and hose and trucks when you leave there. You're not just sharp on all that stuff, but you're sharp on what you're supposed to be doing and who you're supposed to be talking to and who, when you're not supposed to be talking and all the other stuff that sometimes fire departments, meaning fire companies, sometimes they get left with that job because a guy shows up from the academy sharp as a whip on tools, but he doesn't know he's not supposed to be sitting down in the kitchen smoking a cigarette with his feet up on a chair when the captain walks in, you know, and stuff like that. So, I can't attribute it to anything other than history. You know, the FDNY have been around a long time, as have plenty of other fire departments, but they've just been doing it that way for a long time. And some people criticize, you know, you and I with our thing, old school. I'm old school from the minute I put my pants on in the morning till the minute I go to bed. It's just, I'm just sort of stuck in that hole right now, and that's good for me. But it's just an old school place, and they get some modern stuff that they play with now, toys and stuff, but there's a lot of old school values there, which is, I think, probably the most valuable stuff the academy is that's taught is that.
Well, and
you're putting your pants on, and that's the most important thing. So you keep that up.
Yeah, and I should have called them trousers because women wear pants.
Or dungarees. Dungarees. Well, and Scott, I know of a best-selling book called The Functional Fire Company, and written by, some young kid was on the show with Bobby talking about this Scott Thompson guy.
I think I know him. I have a copy of that book right here. You want me to show you? Oh. And there it is. Look, always right here. Always just one arm away.
Well, Scott, well, you talk about this in your book as to the success. I mean, there's so many great points in the book, but it's something that resounds like in almost every chapter that if you want to be successful, you have to have something that you believe in, something that matters, right?
Look at home. Huge, Rick. And I don't know how you accomplish the things you want to accomplish without it. Now, I can't get in great detail, but I'm probably facing one of the greatest, challenges in my career. And it's not about what we do on the fire ground. It's about how we treat people in the firehouse. And I think every organization.
If you call right now.
You get a free set of steak knives.
Wait a minute. That's still got the plastic on it. What the hell are you talking about, Bob?
You're damn right it does. Because Thompson still hasn't signed it for me. I didn't get no free one.
Yeah, okay. Chief Lasky, let's get back to our it's huge. Thinking back now over the last 12 years, and like I said, we're struggling with some things right now, and we put such a huge emphasis on being good firefighters, the things that we all want to do. And we realize that, and I've got, in my mind, I got it, the best that there are, just like each of you believe, but we're recently realizing just how important core values are. And, you can have great firefighters that may not always be great people. It's got to start with that. And I think the only way you get there is, I think a big part of what John said, we have 8 new members that are getting ready to start on shift Friday. They've been in an indoctrination. And that's what we spend that time doing is this is how we come off the truck, but this is how we act as a group, this is what we represent, and this is what the uniform means, and this is how we treat our senior members, and this is why we care for the firehouse and our citizens. And I think if you don't make that connection, you just never have a soul. Your organization doesn't have a soul, is the best way to describe it. So I think it's huge. It's certainly the biggest part of accomplishing what I call a chosen culture. And I don't know how organizations get through tough times. It's easy when everything's easy, when everything's great and there's no challenges, we go around and we wear the shirt, but when times get tough, I think that's when they become the absolute most important and essential to, I can't even imagine what it would take to recover from something like 9/11. That's something none of us will ever understand except the men and women that were there that day. But you got to have that soul, that compass to point you toward true north when things get tough.
Well, I've had I've said it plenty of times, the honor and privilege of having worked with you, Scott, with Terry, with Mark and Mark in Louisville. And I know before I got there, Steve Bass, our good friend, Chief Steve Bass, I asked Steve, I said, I've never been there. I don't know anything about it. He says, I could tell you they have a tremendous amount of pride. They're very good firefighters. They just lack some leadership. And I'm like, okay, I'd rather have the guys who are proud and want to be great at what they're doing than the other way around. You know what I'm saying? And I remember going Bobby to dinner with Bruno and Tom Brennan at FDIC West. And I remember Bruno looking at me go, you know what? Just go in there, instill some core values, give them something to wrap. He said, to wrap their arms around. He goes, they're not going to trust you for 5 years, and then they won't trust you again a few years after that. He goes, but you got to give them something. You got to, there's got to be something there. And without getting into it, the guys from Lewis will know this. I know a month and a half after I was there, I was handed a hot mess. And I truly think that if there had been a little bit better, and Mark Richards and I were very close to this, some core values early on, that I think a lot of that would, if not all of it, would have been avoided. And I'll be honest, I think there would have been a captain. It still would have been a captain in an organization with the right leadership and with the right guidance. Bobby, John's got out of his 5 kids, 2 are Marines. James is a captain in MARSOC in the Marine Corps now. You've got sons, you've got the commander. I know you have devoted your life, to pushing out motivation, enthusiasm, leadership, values, but more importantly, none of the successes I've seen from my good friend Bobby Halton, none of them would have been there without your beliefs. You have your faith, but along with that is you believe in something special, and you've talked about, we've always said, like my son said the one time, I said, Dad, stop comparing the military to the fire service, because you're not. we can never get it wearing our uniforms like you guys do. And we give orders and they're followed, and you guys have this firefighter, you know, bill of rights and all stuff. But there are, you know, let's talk about that for a second, Bobby. You bring them up in a lot of your keynote speeches about the importance of having values in your life. And a lot of it correlates to the military, and then right away ping pongs back to the fire service.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how, you know, Mark and Terry talk about the Louisville credo that they put together, because I think it's really important. And I think you're spot on, Rick. I think that, you know, everything in my life I owe to my parents and my faith, you know, how I was raised by my mom and dad, and then my Catholicism. And I'm unapologetically Catholic, I'm unapologetically patriotic, and I'm unapologetically conservative. And, you know, and I've stole that line from Justice Clarence Thomas, but it defines me completely. And so I don't put any space between my Catholicism, my belief in Jesus Christ, and my values, because that's where they all come from. And I think your values are based on what you find to be virtuous. And that's the whole thing. And you can go all the way back to Seneca and Gilgamesh and, you know, all the way back. And all of those people were, if you read, you know, the Epic of Gilgamesh, if you read, you know, Seneca's Letters on Dying, or if you read, you know, even Cato, who is brutal, but if you read any of them, it's all about living out the virtues that you espouse to. And I think the most important thing is, as people in charge of organizations, is to remember that nobody's going to live up to your expectations, mostly you. And to probably put the most important virtue of all is the ability to have forgiveness. And forgiveness is being able to say, I could have made that same mistake. I could have easily gone down that same stupid path. And I think that when I read the thing that that the Louisville guy is going to share with us here in a moment, you could hear that, you know, in other words, here's what we aspire to. And we understand that we're going to fall short, and that's okay. You know what I mean? That's okay. You know, it's not okay to just blatantly disregard it and be, you know, evil, but it's okay to have a bad day, or, you know what I mean? It's okay. And we're losing that in our culture today. I mean, we're losing the ability to understand that everything happens in context, and sometimes people get caught up in the moment. There's a passage in Proverbs where, and it had something to do with a wise word spoken in reflection with kindness is wisdom, but a response in haste is generally, you know, hateful and mean. So when I read that credo, I think it has a great balance. I can't wait for you guys to share it, because I think it has a great balance of what the fire service stands for, which is, you know, man's humanity to man and kindness. And I think it extends that to the membership, which I think is really important, because, you know, we live in a zero defect world now. You know, it's like every time they find something about somebody, it turns into a pecking party, as if, right, you know, everybody starts throwing stones at some poor guy, like they never did that. You know what I mean? Or they couldn't see themselves doing it. And that's just bad. And so please share that thing, guys. I'm so anxious to see it up on the screen.
Well, and right before we get into Chief Richards and Chief McNeil, Terry, I remember when you were so excited, you were talking about this project and you were saying, you know, Mark Richards, you know, your partner, because for our viewers, Terry's and Mark are both assistant chiefs working for Mark McNeil, for Chief McNeil. You were so fired up about it, and you're so excited about it, about how it came. We're going to get to this in a second, how it came about. Before we go, just one step further, Terry, I know you said there's always some resistance, you know, to when you bring some, you know, there's always going to be a couple of those people out there like, why, or this is just, you know, a piece of paper on the wall or whatever. And, you know, and I know we talked about at the beginning is, you know, I think you said, well, I don't know if we'll ever get 100% true and honest commitment behind this. We want to, but there's always going to be one or two naysayers out there. What do you attribute that to someone just saying, how do you say, I don't want to believe in something to support something special, but go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, for starters, the Mark Richards is a special individual, and he has a level of commitment. And I'll honestly say this, I didn't know Mark before the fire service, but I see his work ethic. He makes me better and makes me stronger. And his commitment to this creed and for trying to establish some values, some a clear message of who we are and what our expectations are. So I can't say enough about his desire to get this out and to, but he'll talk about the process, because I think that's important too, when we made this shift and put this out there. To your question, Chief, you know, Chief Salka said something earlier about, you know, when you bring random people, if you will, into the FDNY Academy. And I've shared this story before when I was a police officer, and just randomly I would ask other cops, and in a large city, you might see a cop one time in your whole life. You just happen to answer a call with and never see him again. But I would always ask people, what drew you to the Dallas Police Department? And on more than one occasion, someone would say something similar to like, well, I took the postal exam on Monday and I took the police exam on Tuesday, and the police department called me first. And that's mind-boggling to me for a lot of different reasons. But I was thinking to myself, like, you got up and thought, well, I'll either deliver mail or I'll be a cop. But what we have to understand is that there are people who migrate into this profession, and probably not as much in smaller organizations as there are in big organizations, FDNY or Dallas Police or Los Angeles or something like that, where you're truly taking just people off the street. But the Marine Corps is a great example of this, because I've never met a Marine or somebody that's not a Marine that doesn't proudly tell you that they were a Marine. And I'm not saying they do it in a boastful way or in a way that you're like, oh, geez, here we go again with the, but that's an organization that instills something unique in every person that goes through that program. And they come out, and you know what, the pride that comes out of those people, whether they serve 4 years or they serve 30 years, they walk out of that. And believe me, there's something different about them. And there's members on this panel who have kids that served in the Marine Corps. So obviously we're not trying to build Marines over here, but I do believe that what we have and what we try to relay to that average person, to the person that walks through the door, to the person that comes here and says, you know, well, I worked in a smaller department, you guys fight a lot more fire and you've got a dive team or whatever the things that brought them here. Hey, listen, that's great. And we're glad that you're proud to be in Louisville. And we do train a lot, and we've got a lot of very talented people, and we participate in TIFMIS. We have a dive team. And so we're doing all the cool stuff, the flying from helicopters, like you say, Chief, but hey, let's take it down a notch. And you need to understand who we are and what our expectations are, because what's in this document or what's in this creed that we're asking people to read, digest, understand, and then exhibit to the general public, that's who we are. The fact that we do this creed while dangling from a rope off a helicopter, that's cool. But the creed is absolutely what our expectations are from you when you walk through the doors and wear this uniform.
And I'll just say this, I was a believer when I saw it, mainly because I know you, Terry, and I know Mark Richards, and I know Mark McNeil. Mark Richards, a long time ago when I first got to Louisville, showed me something about him, and I'm not saying it to embarrass him, but when it comes to the definition of integrity, when there's the definition of character, Mark Richards demonstrated, and Mark, you know what I'm talking about, demonstrated that to me when it came time to do what's right, and it showed me something about him that it will stay with me for the rest of my life, what a special person he is. And then Chief McNeil, just your family values that you carry from home, from you and your wife, and I think I lost track at like 155 children you guys had fostered, which is something incredible when somebody is a foster parent. I mean, it just shows something about what you're about, Mark, and how special you are when it comes to family values. So to either Mark, to maybe Chief McNeil, walk us through, and then maybe we'll turn it to Mark Richards, and kind of let's talk about this. I think the Louisville Fire Department creed is awesome. And real quick, you know, that you've heard me say this story before, John and I, I've talked about it. The World War II FMF corpsman I ran into on the airplane. I gave him one of your 9/11 coins, the 10-year anniversary coins. And we were talking about values. And he, in the middle of the flight to Sacramento, he tapped me on the shoulder and he was standing there. World War II, Fleet Marine Force. That's a, for the other guys, a combat medic. My son was an FMF corpsman attached to the Marines. He stood next to me, Mark and Mark, and recited the Sailor's Creed from World War II. And he had tears in his eyes because that's what it meant to him. So Chief McNeil, let's turn this over to you and Chief Richards, and let's talk about the Louisville Fire Department Creed, the concept, and how you guys put that together.
Absolutely. So the key for me is putting right people in the right spots. And between Terry and Mark, I feel like I have to hang on sometimes. We get a direction and they go. But when I was appointed chief last year in March, we were in the middle of COVID and just we had so many personnel changes that happened in the next 6 months. And so the department does what it does. Our guys are phenomenal. And, you know, they take care of business. We're trying to keep admin moving along with budget cuts and doing all that we do. And putting the right people in the right place was the key. And Chief Richards had come across this. I guess his son was exposed to that, where the initial idea came from, the creed that they had. And he came in and let's talk about foundations. And so just like everybody has said, you've got to have a good foundation. I was blessed. This department, when I stepped in, there was nothing to fix. This was a good, healthy department. This was a phenomenal guys that have built a long line of tradition. And so what we did, we looked at it, but what we had not done well is when we show you the creed, the first couple of things are our mission and our core values. And you know what? You used to preach that all the time. I told the troops when I got in front of them and we talked about who we are and where we come from, we hadn't been preaching that enough. And we've become a young department. We've had a lot of retirements. We've just reached that age in the department. And, you know, you're only one generation from losing things. And we realized, you know what? Some of them hadn't really heard what the mission of the department was. Couldn't verbalize our vision. They knew who we are. Didn't change anything. But we weren't doing a good job of making sure that our foundation was solid and that as we grew and new people came in, that we didn't change. And so Mark's idea was absolutely phenomenal. And he took this took the lead in this. And then we, you know, the whole department was involved. But it just put into words who we are so that we have something to measure by. And, you know, Chief Thompson said that, you know, they're the best department. And that's what I tell our guys. We are the best department. The key is, you know, we're not in competition. I get we may compete for new hires with our other departments, but there's not a hierarchy where, hey, we're the best department and the colony's second place and fireman's third place. We can all be the best. We're the best Louisville Fire Department. The standard is not some competition against each other. It's the standard is ours. The standard is who we strive to be, and that's we're going to be the best that we can be based on who Louisville is. And so it was putting those words into place, and it was a pretty cool process. So I'll let Mark talk about where he came up with this idea and how we implemented it a little bit.
Well, perfect. And Mark, you know, and thank you, Chief. Mark, you know, my buddy John has said it forever when he talks about when he was a captain of 48 engine and when they took over EMS. Remember, John, and like when guys are like, we don't want to run EMS. And John's like, no, we're going to run EMS like we run fires. We're the best. Now, and he has said, and I've heard him say this in class, just what Chief McNeil said, just by saying you're the best doesn't mean you're competing with someone else. I think there could be a lot of best department. In fact, that should be your goal, is to be the best fire department without having to stomp on someone next door. You know, it was perfect, Mark, Chief McNeil, how you said that. You don't just aspiring to be the best, aspiring for that excellence, you know, that you know, to keep moving the bar without worrying about, there's always gonna be someone faster, better, quicker, whatever, you know, stop competing with them. You know, it's that the definition of pride where you should be competing with yourself to be the best you can be, to keep doing what you can, to keep raising your own bar within your organization. So the next, you know, you can say you're the best without having to trounce somebody. So Mark, talk about, you got this idea from your son and where did that come from? And then I'd like to go through all 10 of them.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for the introduction. So first of all, just to clarify a few things here, a lot of this started a little bit back or further. We all know Chief Jerry Wells, retired battalion chief, many years. Him and I used to sit in my office and just, we'd discuss leadership tactics and strategies and different ideas and thoughts. And it was always fun. And he'd come up here and I always felt bad for his driver because at the time, which now Battalion Chief Graham would have to sit out in the car sometimes 2 or 3 hours. And he was always good. He'd never walk back in the door and go, come on, man, seriously. But we would do hours of this. And it kind of starts twofold. I listened to a conference one time, or a call one time with Jeff Bezos. It was on a podcast. And Bezos, you know, the founder of Amazon, he said something that stuck with me from the beginning. And it still to this day is very passionate for me. He said, all businesses die. And I'm like, what? And he goes, one day Amazon's going to die. All businesses die. And I thought about that for a second. I go, well, good thing I'm not in the business world. I looked at that and I go, you know what? I am. I'm in the fire service. It's a business. It's still a commodity. It's an interest that people love what we do, but we have to always be able to get better, move forward. It'll become irrelevant to some of our partners around the community. And starting with that is core values. That's how you stay relevant. That's how you keep from dying. Because if you lose your values going forward, you're automatically going to sink. And it's a difficult road to dig out of. You can look around the nation and see fire departments that have lost their way in their values. The cool thing about Louisville Fire Department, our forefathers, our chiefs, and our guys that built this place back in 1925, way before we were ever even thought about being here, they set those values in place. What we want to do is make sure we instill those, continue on those, and honor the ones that came before us for the fire service culture and not become irrelevant where we die, meaning that our customers don't believe in who we are. People don't want to work here anymore. There's a lot of things that go into the factors of values. So the creed started somewhere in that area years ago. My son absolutely exposed to it at DPS. In their academy, they have what they call the 10 general orders. And that was part two of this. When I read those 10 general orders, it was amazing because that
Mark,
was
so is he a trooper or game warden?
Well, he's a police officer now. He was in the DPS academy. He
got hired. Okay, DPS academy. For
city. Yep, right now. But when he brought those to me and I read those, I was like, exactly what I would always envision for our department, to have that opportunity to increase, enhance, and build upon the values that we have now and to fine tune them. So starting with the 10 general orders, the way DPS ran this thing, I loved it because you better know them when you show up. You're going to be tested at every single phase along the way. They're going to drill these things into you. It's kind of what Chief Salka said earlier. They're going to drill this into you that you know exactly where the Louisville Fire Department's headed, where DPS is headed exactly at that time. And that's what starts the foundation of those troopers when they get out of their cars. I mean, you see them, they all dress alike, they all talk alike, they all walk alike, it's all part of their value system. So in Louisville, when we have what we have here now, and when I brought this to Chief McNeil and we talked about this, you know, he was dead on. He said, you know, we need to really drive home our mission, because that's something as a department, it's there, but very few of us, including myself, and I'll say it, I'll exploit myself. I'll own my weakness there. I didn't really understand or could recite our mission as a department, you know, and here I'm at an assistant chief level trying to build a creed, right? Well, that shows me how to check myself at the door and get some ownership in what I'm trying to instill here. So we started with that. We put together a list and a foundation of how we operate today, what we do today. We didn't steal them from DPS. We have our own. But we looked at how some of their cultural beliefs and their values are, and if they aligned with what we had, then we wrote them to fit our needs and what we do today currently. We sat in a room. It was really cool. We had all the chief officers come together. We sat in here one day, and it's painful to do this, but it was important. And we listed what we thought were important to our department, how we operate today, how we can improve, how we can make this place better. So we came up with a list probably at that time. I actually still have the original list. It was about 30 values, 30 creeds that we could come up with, or lines in our creed that we could come up with. We narrowed those down over a month. We said, go back, chew on them a little bit, fine tune them, add some input to it. And we did. We narrowed them down. We picked four of them. And when we narrowed the four that meant the most to us, we want the ownership from our department. So we gave them the six that were remaining. We had the core choices out there, and we rolled it out to our captains. And the reason we rolled it to our captains was is critical to me, because if you send out a general email for 153 employees to read and buy in on, you know, well, Chief, you're going to get, it's just 75, maybe 80 of them they might not read it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, pick three, whatever. So the ownership came with the captains. So I wanted the captains to get together with their crew. And here's the ones you're going to choose from. And you're going to find which means the most for your team, for your crew, and they're going to pick them in order. So the captain sat down. That's where they had to get that family time again, and brought the ownership through the captain down through the ranks with them to the firefighters, to the newest guys. And they read out what they thought was important, and they all discussed and cussed just like we did in a room. And when they were done, they record that information. We collected all that data, and we came up with our 10 values in our creed. So we had buy-in from the top to the bottom on this. What we thought was the most important for us as an administrative, with our battalion chiefs and our other chief officers, that we came together and we picked four, and then let the department pick the next six. So that's how that came about.
How about we do this, Mark, if you don't mind, and you know, for the rest of our, I mean, we'll have you, like Chief McNeil said, kind of walk us through them. And, you know, we'll go through each one here, and then the rest of our panel, you know, they always jump in there here and there. But Pete, to our producer, Pete, if you can go ahead and share that document right now, that'd be great. We're going to throw that up there on our presentation. And there it is. There it is. Yep. So for our viewers at home, you should be able to see that right now. Yeah. So, Mark, if you wanted to, you and Chief McNeil and the rest of our panel jump in, or kind of walk us through each one of these and the thought process, buddy.
Absolutely. So we'll start off with what Chief said about our mission. We've got to know our mission. I mean, that's why we're here, right? We've got to be here and know it. So we started off with number one, and that's going to be there every time. And it's to execute the mission of the department. Be honest, be safe, be nice, treat people like family. That's that to me, and it goes back to what Chief said about being the best for us. I think that's one thing that's important in the fire service, is we treat people like family, not within, but also without. I mean, outside of our organization too, we treat people that way. To serve at all times with pride, honor, integrity. Chief, that's something that you came up with, and it's very powerful for me. I've loved it from the beginning. I still hear retirees talk about it, and it's nice. We want to keep that a part of who we are. The next is our risk model. You know, we live this every day. It's above all our doors and our fire stations, and it's how we exist. You know, to risk our life a lot in a calculated manner to save a savable life. To risk my life a little in a highly calculated manner to save savable property. To never risk my life or lives or property that are already lost. You know, that balance for a young firefighter to walk in the door to hear that, you know, dying is not something you're in this business to do. You're here to save lives, and that includes your own. And to start young, I think that's some value that needs to be drilled into a young firefighter's mind. To understand that I'm held to a higher standard, I will hold this standard in all aspects of my life and never bring dishonor to our department or our service. And I think that speaks highly for itself. To hold myself accountable and take responsibility for my actions. To be coachable at all times. To maintain operational readiness and continual improvement through training and education. To place the mission above the crew and place my own self-intentions last. How important is that? You know, we're not in this for ourselves. It's a greater picture. It's the mission. To own my weakness, so I can learn how to turn them into my strengths. To remain humble, even in the pursuit of excellence. Humility is a truth, and in it, I am truly selfless.
Well, every time I look at these, and selfishly, I spend a lot of time with my good buddy, my best buddy, John Salka, you know, because we do a lot of teaching together. And, you know, we've talked about this so many times. I mean, there are a lot of places out there, and I'll throw this to the panel, that we go there, all of us, and you see their, whether it's their creed or their mission statement. And I've said for years, I went to a place and they gave me like three coffee mugs and a book, and it took three coffee mugs to fit their whole mission. It was so long and nobody knew it. And Mark, like you said earlier, the buy-in, and at the very beginning, you know, the whole point about it is, remember, Louisville Fire Department shall be my duty, and that they will know it. They're going to be tested on it. Just like John said earlier, and everybody else, as Scott has his book, they're going to be tested on it. You're going to be required to know this. And it's something that will probably live with you, most likely. I'd be shocked if it is, for the rest of your life. So many people sit down and they come up with something, I think, that is so blurry, so difficult to, you know, that it becomes more of a memorization thing instead of a belief of faith. Yeah, they can recite words. So there's a difference between reciting words and opening up your heart and your about something you believe in. You know, and I'll throw this one to John about, you know, to maintain operational readiness with continual improvement through training and education. How many times, John, have we talked about that? And John, you, what's the phrase you use? I always ask you to repeat it. You know, you don't have to, you're muted, buddy. You're still muted.
Got it?
Yeah, there we go.
You don't have to get ready if you stay ready.
Well, and you've said it a bunch of times as well, as we talk about placing the mission. We just did one of our shows, The Mission of Men and Me, you know, the mission above the crew, you know, and place my own intentions last. You know, that, you know, place the mission above the whole, what Chief McNeil said from the very beginning about the mission. And I think sometimes, and I'll throw this, you know, Bobby, we forget sometimes. I think this panel, to Mark and Mark, you know, to the two chiefs, before we go on the air, we're always talking about some of these chiefs out there that post. I love this post. I'm extremely honored and humbled to have received this pen set from the Kiwanis Club for giving their, I can't believe it's been 7.5 years and 3 months since I've been doing this, and it wouldn't be that way without. And I'm like, no, you're talking about yourself, dude. This has nothing to do with the fire service, your mission, your people. How can you look? I have no problem. None of us do. You know, Bobby, John, you know, when we do that, Scott, yeah, extremely honored that IFF local number 636, you know, present me with the helmet, made me honorary member, and you sit there with the guys. But there's a different, I mean, that separation of humble and honored, I think those are the ones that struggle about putting their people, you know, here in the mission. I just love how that's worded. And I like the last one, number 10, about to remain humble, even in the pursuit of excellence, because that's where I'm going with this, Bobby. So many people in the pursuit of excellence, when they get there, and you see it all the time, Bobby, with what you do, it's like, really, you know, I think you're reading and believing your newspaper clippings a little bit too much.
Well,
I
mean, you know, Rick, thing I'm most proud of is my humility. I mean, that's a...
It's true. It's true. So
you can't make that kind of stuff up. Right?
So now, Chief Richards,
this is beautiful. You know, what's kind of neat about this and why I like it is that. So there's the sailor's creed. There's the soldier's creed. There's the Coast Guard creed. I just shared with the group a little creed thing that we wrote years ago that I think it's probably, gosh, I got it right here. It's from 2000. That's from 2012 that I just shared with you guys, a firefighter's creed. But this is actually taking a mission statement and a creed and marrying them, right? Which is really, really cool. And I've never seen it before, which is why I was so excited about it, because the creed is the creed, and there's lots of creeds out there. But, you know, like we talked about the Marine Corps earlier, the Marine Corps mission statement is kill. And the just kidding, but it's you know, the creed and the they're usually a separate and apart, but the beauty of this is by putting the two of them together, and it's tough, you know. Humility is a fascinating thing, and you know, when you meet somebody who's truly a humble person, it like Steve Bass came up earlier. That guy has got more street cred, more credentials, more stuff to be just so proud of, but he's the humblest guy I know. I mean, he's just this neat guy. Every chance I try to get a car ride with him somewhere, right? You know, just to be alone in the car with him is just like the coolest thing you can do. So I love this, and I think it's neat. And I think, and I'll be honest with you, I think over time, you know, perhaps, you know, Mark, when the next chief comes in, or, you know, in 5 years from now, the men and women in Louisville may want to say, hey, let's revisit it. Maybe let's add this. Let's change that part. And that's okay. Right. Because this is the language that works right now. You know what I mean? But other people may have other language that works better for them. And those are big words. When you throw up a word like, you know, honor and integrity, you know, that you're going back to MacArthur there, these three words, you know, duty, yeah, honor, Chief, country. That's exactly. It.
Chief Lasky, and I've heard Chief Richards say this several times. He didn't allude to it today, but the interesting part of the process of coming up with this list was the ownership that we had from bottom to top of the organization. And Chief McNeil can talk to that too, but people, and by the way, Bobby, I'd ride in your Toyota Yaris, you know, that would be a car ride of a lifetime. Who wouldn't do that? But the interesting thing about this,
it's an echo, damn it, it's an echo.
The interesting thing about this process was people got passionate about this, and I'm not talking about Chief Richards was passionate about the day he walked in and said, we need this. And when he went down this road, what was interesting, and Chief McNeil can chime in here, but was to see that that level of intensity and the desire to shape and mold this thing to fit us. And it was fun to see. It's good.
Well,
good to see.
And before we go, because Chief Salka, hang on 1 second. You know, I was just going to say, and you're exactly right, Terry. That doesn't happen without great leadership like you have with Chief Mark McNeil at the helm. Because, you know, there are a lot of bosses out there that think everything going on in the department is great because of them, and their heads are in the clouds. And one of the first things he did, the very first words he said was he paid compliment to his teammates, to the people that work for him, work beside him. And that just shows you what kind of a great boss, what a kind of a great leader he is, that you have that support, that you have that sense where you can sit down and, like Mark did, Mark Richards, I want to talk, you know, where some guys would be afraid to even come forward with that. But Chief Salka, John, you had something?
Yeah, just from a, you know, from an outside perspective, you know, not that the FDNY doesn't have great, you know, great concepts and things like that. But what I find really great about this is, number one, an organization that decides to undertake a project like this, and not only to develop this, but as someone else just said a minute, it was latched on. Everybody from the organization, from top to bottom, you know, was into it and helped develop it. And then not to enforce it, but promote it throughout the organization. And then maybe, as you said, in the future, maybe it'll have to be looked at and revised or amended and things like that. But my whole point is, this not only makes this a better fire department, it not only makes each company a better and more effective fire company, it does. It also makes the fire department more service oriented, you know, and answerable to the public. But more than all of that is, I can see how this probably actually produces better, more honest and humble and you know, firefighters and fathers and citizens and community leaders. Like, this is improving the whole city. This is improving, you know, not only what your folks do at work and your organization, but everything that everybody does when they go out the door for the 3 days off or the 2 days off in between their shifts. I think you've developed, you know, better people, better moms and dads and citizens and everything else. And who knows? And then when they have children, then that gets passed along. This really never ends. This just continues out into the community and improving everything, as far as I can see.
Oh, and that's a great point. And Scott, I know you, I mean, all 10 of these, you know, ring ring very loud in the Chiefs, you know, Scott Thompson world. But I'm looking at, like, I mean, how many times you've talked about on this show, you know, number five, actually number five, six, and seven, you know, though, you know, to hold myself accountable and take responsibility for my actions, to be coachable at all times, to maintain operational readiness with continual improvement through training and education. You've talked about those three among the other things. Though it's almost like you could smush those together for what you believe in, buddy.
I love reading this, and I'm excited about it. You know, I believe I know Louisville Fire Department well, and the players, and I know the guys that were involved in this, or at least the leadership. And man, it's just so cool to see. And I'll tell you, Rick, you know, a lot of what we do in the colony, I learned from you. I learned from Louisville, and we had to make it. And I think what Chief McNeil said, it's, you know, we want to be the best fire department in the colony, Texas. And so we took what we learned, and man, there's just so many things, but you think about a firefighter who comes into an organization or a new officer who's being promoted, and you want to start off on the right foot. This is as far as you have to go. And if you make a commitment to yourself, right, just between you and your God to do these things, you're going to be successful. And just what a huge, huge, first step that is. I love it. I'm proud of Louisville. I'm proud to be next door to them, and that, you know, we come over and help them on their fires and stuff. And but man, it's just awesome. I echo everything Chief Salka said. And just kudos to you guys, man. It's impressive.
Well, and Chief McNeil, go ahead, buddy. I was going to ask you, where I know this isn't just, they're very nicely done. They're very nicely displayed in the firehouses and the rooms and all the meetings and stuff. But there's so much more to your folks in Louisville grabbing a hold of this. I've always said it's got to be more than just a picture on the wall. You guys have done so much more to get everybody to embrace this creed.
Yeah, the exciting thing with having the way we rolled it out and to get the input, that got the buy-in from the majority of people. You know, they got excited about this because it's important. We hire good people, and all, you know, your departments are full of firefighters that believe in what they're doing. We all want to be a part of something important. We want to be significant, and they want to make sure that culture goes on. And as we're bringing new hires, that we have a standard or a ruler to measure by. How can we hold them accountable to just vague concepts? They know, hey, you're going to be a great firefighter. We got to define what it is we're looking for and have a way to hold them accountable. We got this done and rolled out just in time for a good sized mini academy, a good hire and a big group. And we've had a good mini academy process. When we bring people in, they're already certified firefighters, but we want to teach them the Louisville way. So that's what we tell them. You can be the greatest firefighter ever. You come, and I use New York as an example. You could be on rescue company in New York, and if you come to Louisville, you still have to learn the Louisville way. You're still starting at ground zero because this is the way we operate, and you've got to be able to fit within this team, and it's your job to fit within our team. And so it was really, this was just an important part of that academy. It brought whole new life and new structure to that academy where we came in and we gave them something tangible. This is what you're signing on to. And if you can't buy into this, you may not be in the right place. And this is the time to walk away and no hard feelings, but you know what you're getting into. And it was a pretty cool process. I think a really good academy. We have something, and as Bobby had said, you know, we aren't going to be perfect. We make mistakes. We have guys, all of us from the top down, we make mistakes. But this is what we hold. You know, we can go back to this. This is our creed. This is what we're looking for. You messed up. We need to shore it up, forgive each other, and move on. But we have that standard, and we know what the expectation is.
Well, and I would have loved to have had this. You know, Terry, you remember, you know, the talk that every candidate, everybody that came through, very rarely was there someone that didn't get to talk, and that usually was a message to somebody. But when we would do our interviews, they got a little talk from me, and I would talk about the pride, our integrity, and the things. You know, I would say, don't worry about the pride thing. You work with a guy named Mark Richards, and he's going to show you what it means to be proud of what you do here, take ownership. And, you know, you want to talk about honor, we'll give you a day with John Copeland, and he'll show you what it means to be a person of honor. But there's no cross in the line when it comes to integrity. If you lie or steal, whatever, you will be fired. I need you to shake your head. We don't want a thief. We don't want you here. We need you to understand. And if this isn't, and Mark, just like you said, I used to say, if this isn't a good fit for you, then shake hands with Chief Brown here. When Daryl Brown from Grapevine was assistant chief, I said, just shake hands with, say, Chief, I don't think this is a good fit, and move on down the road. There'll be no hard feelings, but I don't want to find out 11 months and 29 days from now that one of your captains is saying, this guy doesn't get it. We got to dynamite him out of recliner. He's not into the ownership thing. I'll take care. But I would have, to have these 10, I'm so jealous. It would have been so nice, Mark, like you said, because this isn't about changing. Hang on a second, Bobby. This isn't about changing what you do in Louisville. This is about changing the lives of the firefighters that work for you. This is that sailor from World War II standing next to me on the airplane in flight, tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked up, and he didn't say, listen to this. He tapped me and he recited the Sailor's Creed, and there was tears in his, and I watched my son recite the same thing at boot camp. You're changing firefighters' lives, not just Louisville firefighters. You're changing their whole life. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible. Chief McDeal, Chief Richards, Bobby, go ahead, buddy.
I like the fact that there's 10, because, you know, you go some places and, oh, wait a second, you broke rule 437 and 26, subparagraph A, part B.
Wait, hey, Bobby, wait a second. To Mark Marcateri, remember the Maroon book, which I call the Moron book? Remember the little paper rules and regulations? I'm sorry, Bobby. It's exactly what you're talking about. We had the stupidest rules in this paper folder, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if you can boil down the rules and regulations to 10, I mean, God did that, which should be a clue. If it only takes 10 rules to get into heaven, it shouldn't take more than 10 to be a good Louisville firefighter.
That's a great point. Well, I guess, like I said, I can only say, hang on a sec, John. I can only say I'm so jealous. I am. John, you and I talked about this when we were going to do this on our show. And I said, no, we need to do a hub day, talk to Terry. Let's have the two chiefs come out and talk about us, because I'm jealous. I wish I would have had this document when I was there. Go ahead, John.
And, you know, another thing I was thinking about, I thought about mentioning before, and then it just slipped my mind. Another great thing about this is sort of because where we are as a nation and where we are as a culture and a civilization right now, I mean, 30, 40 years ago, you know, things like being accountable, being coachable, being ready, and living at a higher standard, those are all accepted by everybody. Everybody was taught that at home or at Boy Scout camp or at football team or when they went to college. Now a lot of these things are falling by the wayside in our civilization. And people are getting to be 20, 23, 25 years old, getting jobs, starting families, and they don't know any of this yet. They don't know anything about admitting mistakes and learning constantly and pushing for a higher standard and always be the best they can. A lot of people have never heard these concepts before in their lives. So I think that's another reason that there's probably great buy-in within the organization and why it's having such a positive effect, because this is like a brand new book. This is like some stuff that a lot of people have never heard before, and suddenly they're hearing it at work, you know, and I think it's tremendously valuable.
Well, Chief Richards, that whole to be coachable at all times, that one, number six, so many people, I think, have difficulty with that because they wear their hearts on their shirt sleeves. You know, I've said before, you could, you know, there was never a problem. I mean, I you know, if Scott or Terry or Mark, when you were captain, I mean, to get mad at me and give me a what for, and I walk over and I look at Chief Tittle, God rest him, God, I miss him. I look at Chief T and go, well, I effed that one up, didn't I? I go, what? I go, did you see how red his face got with me? He goes, who? I said, Captain So-and-so. He's so mad at me right now. I go, all right, I got to fix that shit. Now, there was just things, you know, when like you said, everybody makes mistakes, and, you know, then going back and fixing it. But at the same time, I'd rather someone be open and honest with me and tell me that I need to learn something. And the other side is me saying, I have to learn something. When you're not coachable, everything comes, Scott, right? Everything comes to a screech. And when you're not coachable, everything stops. It's like, you can't tell me anything. I know everything. Screw you. I get my feelings hurt. I have to have a little pity party. You call me a boogerhead and all this stuff. Instead of acting like you're supposed to, you'd say you're America's heroes. You're out there in the streets, come back to the firehouse, and your captain can't even sit down with you. Or as a chief, like in my case, there's things I wish I could have went back. I wish I could go back and change that I said or did, but I can't. Then you go, God, I messed that up. Well, hopefully I'll be able to do this. But Scott, right, about being coachable?
No, exactly. You got to be. And you've got to admit when you're wrong. But I also want to add this to what you said. You know, for anybody out there looking at this, and it's absolutely cool. And I can't imagine a department that wouldn't say, hey, let's at least have a conversation about it. But if you're an officer in that organization, you better make sure that everything on that list is something you can live up to, every one of them. And, you know, I know fire chiefs, and I put myself in it. We sometimes say, well, they don't see my position. They don't understand what I go through. Therefore, it shall not apply to me. Mm-mm. It's got to apply to everyone. And you've got to be able to hold yourself to that same standard. And if you put something on that list of 10 that you can't live up to, that you can't abide by, and you can't look in the mirror and say, just what you said, Rick, I'm guilty, then you're not going to get that buy-in that Chief Richards, Chief McNeil, and Chief McGrath talk about. Then just becomes a interesting thing to talk about.
Go ahead, Bobby.
And just to dovetail again, Ricky reminded me of my earlier point. There's so much forgiveness in this thing because it says my own shortcomings. I'm going to admit to them. I've got my weaknesses. And then coachability means, and my wife can back this up. My wife's been coaching me for 48 years and she's going to probably, she'll coach me into the box and hopefully, but that's a good thing, right? Because, you know, every day she teaches me how to be just a little bit better at everything. And every day I fall way short, you know what I mean? And that's okay. But, you know, when she tells me, okay, that's not where the catch-up goes, I always say, yes, dear. And I put it where it's supposed to be. I don't know there's a place for the ding-dang catch-up, but there is. So, but that's important, right? Because you're going to have men and women that are going to join the Louisville Fire Department or the New York Fire Department, the Collie Fire Department, you know, your name here, Fire Department, that aren't so great at, say, maybe technical rescue or high tangle rescue, we used to call it. That's okay. They might be great at something else. But they're gonna require that constant coaching. As long as they're open to it, you know, I was a granny knot guy. I mean, John and I used to talk to John Salk a lot about knots and stuff because I was a one knot wonder. You know, I could never get past that. But I was always open to trying to learn how to do them. And you know, guys, oh, there's a ball and gotta be like tying it in the dark. I'm like, you might as well be speaking Greek to me. I couldn't follow it. But I can't tie
a lot, guys.
Yeah, right. So anyway, but I love that coachability, right? Because again, it gives a little bit of understanding, a little bit of, hey, nobody in the Louisville Fire Department is perfect. We're starting right there. That we're all tragically flawed human beings. We're aspiring to be this, and we're owning it when we're not. But we're not telling you you got to come in here and be perfect. You can come in here and be you, and we'll help you be a better you every day. And I think you guys did a great job. Again, a tip of the hat, and thank you for sharing it. And right now on Facebook, there are 1,122 fire departments who have an identical creed. Amazingly.
Well, and before we wrap things up, and Chief Richards, I was heading this way with you as well on this one, because I asked Terry at the beginning about getting buy-in from everybody. And, you know, there's always those two that are like, they just kind of go along with it. And, you know, this is just a bunch of, you know, that kind of stuff. But how important that whole coachable word from your stance, you know, you working with your team, putting this all together, and then the buy-in, I mean, it's got to be huge, isn't it, Mark?
Oh, it is, absolutely. And that's what, when Chief McGrath brought that up a while ago, one of the things, and Chief McNeil is a very humble person, it kind of goes into number 10, remain humble. But every time we have a new academy, this is something cool, because we started doing this. The first person that the academy meets is a fire chief. And I get fired up every time he gives his welcome speech to these guys, and it's always about the creed. And I sit there, and those guys, because they have a time frame in which they have to learn the creed. When you got a month to start, we tell them, you walk in the door, you better know it, because you're going to be tested day one. And the person that gives you that test is that fire chief. And for him to go through his welcome speech, to welcome to the family, and call out and say something in line with the creed, and he'll call on you, brother, and you better know it. And if you don't, you're going to know it. And I actually have watched firefighters walk into chief's office, sit down and take a creed test. at the desk of him. And that buy-in at the top is what starts that filtration to the bottom. And I tell you, because you walk into a fire station and you stand at a urinal, as weird as this may sound, and you see a picture of the Creed taped to a wall above a urinal, I get fired up. That gets me fired up to see that. I mean, and I think in the long run, you don't have a choice. Attrition, the new guys that come in this department, and you're going to have buy-in, and we're going to make sure of it, because that's who we hire. And I think most of our department, if it's hard to be naive and say everybody, but I believe everybody lives to these values and creed, whether they believe in the paper or not, but I know they live to every one of these standards, or they wouldn't be here. This is who Louisville Fire Department is. So we want to make sure everyone coming into this department knows it.
I said earlier, Mark, I love the organization. It's not just, well, we wrote these down and we put numbers next to a 1 through 10. There's a tremendous amount of thought that went into how, because just the fact that number 10 is to remain humble, even, I mean, just the whole thing rings solid and kicks butt, man. I I'm so jealous. I wish I would have had this when I was there. You know, it's awesome. So just absolutely, Mark and Terry and Chief McNeil. Chief, and kind of, you know, Mark kind of walked us down that path here, Chief Richards. Chief McNeil, closing thoughts. If you were sitting with a group of your fellow wizards, you know, your other chiefs, and they were talking about taking on this project, what advice would you give them to be able to put something like this forward and make it work within their organization?
Well, it's got to come from below. So this is not something that a chief could just dump on the people. It would be a really long, hard road. This has got to have participation and buy-in from the troops. And along those lines, you know, we had some promotional interviews not very long ago, and that was kind of the test for me. I went in and we threw one of these questions on there, you know, asking them about, you know, the creed and what it means to them. And had them quote one to us is what I was hoping, you know, name which one means the most to you. And I kind of did that with some hesitation, going, oh, this is going to be the test. It could hurt our feelings. We may not have the buy-in. And to a person, every one of them didn't hesitate. They had something to say and had thought into it. You know, you could tell that there was some buy-in from these guys. So that was at least a good feeling. Obviously, there's always some that just don't get into the hoo-la, but like I say, everybody wants to be part of something significant. And I think that all of our firefighters have that. They have that belief. And so it's been a good process.
Well, there was a character on a kid show a long time ago. I remember watching my kid and this character's name that was Empty Promises. And this was, I think, somewhere along next to Sesame Street kind of thing. And, you know, that was just what it was. This guy was all about empty promises. And there's nothing worse than having a flawed mission, a flawed vision, a flawed set of core values, something that people don't believe in, a bunch of just words on a wall or on a coffee mug. And then you've got something like this that people can wrap their arms around. Like I said before, Mark, not just changing how you do things to the Louisville Fire Department, you're changing those firefighters' lives. They're applying this to being a parent, being a husband or wife, to being a, you know, a coach, to be whatever it is. It just transcends into your whole life. I think, God, for you and Mark and Chief Richards, it's just absolutely incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. Chief Salka, closing thoughts on this, buddy?
Well, I mean, it's hard to beat everything that's already been said, but I think it's a dynamic. It's a gigantic. I mean, it's a page. It's one page, right? And you're looking at it and you think, gee, what could be on one page? And boy, every point just goes off in another direction and another direction, and from humility to coachable to integrity. And boy, oh boy, it's gigantic. And I'll tell you what, you know, having folks buy into it and I don't want to say memorize it, because that sort of trivializes it a little bit, but knowing it and buying into it and having it in their heart, that's a big job. That's a big job, because that thing is talking about more than a plate full of food. That's a bunch of stuff on that creed. And I think it's fantastic. And then, you know, gosh, you spend 10, 20, 30 years in an organization, it'd be great to have generations of people having that right on the top of their head, you know?
Oh, great. Just, you know what? Right. You want to be a great firefighter. You want to be a great, more importantly, you want to be a great person.
Great
starting
point.
Here's what you go. Chief Thompson, closing thoughts, buddy?
Just to share something that I follow that's on my whiteboard in my office for those that are thinking about taking on something like this. And I think everybody should, and it's brilliant. You guys did an outstanding job. But it says, start with the end in mind and why, if not this, what? So by doing that, you kind of know what you want it to look like, but you understand why. And that's vital when you try to sell it. You know, if you just do the end product, the vision out there, and you don't do the work to understand why it's important, you can't sell it. But the next part of that is, if we don't commit to this, we've got to commit to something. What does that look like? So start with the end in mind and why. If not this, what? Great job, guys. I'm proud. I'm proud to be next door to you.
Outstanding. Chief Halton, closing thoughts, buddy?
I would just echo what John said, and Scott, obviously it's a pathway towards model citizenship within the organization, which is outstanding. And it's a great job, and it's brief, which is important, but it's also comprehensive. So outstanding job, and thank you for sharing. And what a great way to say spend St. Patrick's Day. So thank you for doing that with us. And I can't think of a better group of men to spend the day with than this group here. And thank you for letting me be on.
Outstanding. Terry, Chief T?
You know, the only thing I'll add, Chief, is that in this process, we have asked the new anyone new to the organization is to memorize this, and it's part of their onboarding process. I'm just speaking for me personally. I don't get caught up in the memorization of it, but what I do want is you to understand that's who we are. And so to me, I think the ultimate payoff for all of us is seeing these things come to life in how we operate every day. The men and women of this organization. And you know, my own personal favorite on this list is number 4. And it talks about basically you're a firefighter here and you're a firefighter at home when you're not here. And everyone in the neighborhood knows you're a firefighter. And I tell all of our new people is that if on Facebook you're a page 1 firefighter, you're standing in front of the rig and your face is all charcoaled up and you got the soot and the, you know, whatever, then on page 4, the things on your Facebook page better reflect page 1. But to me, holistically, that's what this is talking about, is because we're trying to give you our expectations. This is what we expect from you. And I think that anyone looking to go down this path, to Scott Thompson's point, is what's the end goal here? And I think, you know, I put words in the mouth of Chief Richards, Chief McNeil, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, what we want to see in this organization are people that adhere to this in their actions, in their words, and how they represent not just the Louisville Fire Department, but the fire service.
Well, I agree with you, Terry. You and I have talked about this so many times, both on the phone when we have our hours long discussions about life and things. And I know how you feel when sometimes you're screaming, why can't people just do the right thing? But to Chief McNeil and Chief Richards, Terry's heard me say this a bunch of times. It was funny. Terry always knew when I was teaching a class, because the next day he'd get a gazillion emails of people asking for policies and all that, and so on and so forth.
Chief, so you know.
Well, and the thing is, you know, Chief McNeil, it's an honor, because you guys give me so much to brag about. I love bragging about the Louisville Fire Department, because you guys do so much that's so right. I just you make it easy.
Brags about the Louisville Fire Department all the time, all over the country.
Well, except not bragging if it's true, is it?
Oh, it's great.
Well, and that's it. It's just I love sharing the information. I love, you know, just when you find a place that gets it right. And like I said, you guys are the first ones to say, hey, you know what? We're not perfect. We work. We have some things we fix. You know, but man, oh man, Mark, thank you so much for doing what you do as fire chief there, and your team. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to brag on you guys. And I know sometimes Mark Richards, Assistant Chief Richards, gets a lot of same thing. He gets all those emails. Can I get a copy of this? And can I get that? I'm like, oh, just, you know, and I think a couple of times I've even apologized saying, I'm sorry. They're going to be getting to you, because that, you know, it's like, God, I got all this to do. It's budget time, and Lasky's getting people sending me shit. So, but you make it so easy, so easy. So, Chief McNeil, if one of the other bosses out there want to get a hold of you, what's a good email for them to reach out to you?
First initial, last name. So, M McNeil, MCNEAL, at cityoflewisville.com.
Perfect, perfect. Chief Richards?
It's M Richards, R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S, at cityoflewisville.com.
And without bombarding you, unless you have a helper or someone you could steer them to, would it be you or someone else? If somebody wanted to get a copy of these to sit down with their people, okay, we like you did with DPS, we need to put something together. If they could reach out to you and talk to you about how you pulled it off or to get the document, is it you or someone else? What would be easier for them to?
You could definitely contact me. I would be more than glad to do that. So, yep, reach out to me.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Chief Halton, I know we always say all you got to do is open up the front of the magazine, but shoot him your email address out there, buddy.
It's so big. It's so big. Don't worry about it.
So just go to Fire Engineering Magazine, go to GEMS, go to FDIC, go to FDIC.com, go to Fire Apparatus Journal, go to. Just Google Chief Bobby Halton and you'll reach out to him. And I promise you this, he'll answer you. Bobby, I'll just say it. I love that. I can't tell. I was just in Amboy, Illinois, in Amboy with Jeff Bryant and then Nick Dingus. And somebody came up, there was there. They drove far, was coming to class. And they said they emailed you or whatever. And he emailed me back. And I thought I was talking to like his assistant. I go, no, you were talking to Chief Halton. He's if you email but Chief Halton.
Ricky, just so people know, I'm not on Facebook and I do not monitor Twitter. So I'll post things on Twitter, but people say, I sent you a message on Twitter. You might as well be sending it to the moon because I don't look at anything there.
Chief Thompson, if they want to get a hold of you or if they want to look at purchasing one of the best sellers out there, the Functional Fire Company, where would they get a hold of you?
Scott at fireserviceleadership.com. Thank you for taking the wrapper off, Chief Salka.
Oh, I got bookmarks in here, baby. I've been reading.
I didn't want to touch it with unconsecrated hands.
If you need to get a hold of Scott, reach out to his email. Chief Salka, email, buddy.
ChiefJohnSalka@gmail.com.
And Chief T, my brother from another mother.
You know, Scott, no good deed goes unpunished, right? So, my email's the same. It's mrichards@cityoflewisville.com. First initial, last name, T. McGrath @cityoflewisville.com.
That was perfect. Oh, man, I'm Chief Lasky @gmail.com.
You're stacking them deep and selling them cheap, kids.
Well,
Bob's used books. I got them. Wait a second. I got the engine company here. Hang on a second.
I would hope so.
He just went to the bargain bin for pride and ownership. So
I got it up here on my wall.
Well, he's looking to our regular five. Thank you so much to Chief McNeil, Chief Richards. Thank you. So I know we went a little bit long, but this was well worth it.
Absolutely.
I've been getting some great comments on Twitter, on some of the other things, but some great, great feedback. Thank you so much, guys. You know, you can find us, whether you go to social media, one of the social media venues or whatever, platforms, any of that stuff to get a hold of us. Our next show for the five, as we call it, not to take it from anyone else's show on Fox or anything like that, but our next show is April 21st. Fire Engineering always has some great, great, great hangouts here Wednesdays at noon Central Time as well. And I always mention this, the podcasts in the evening are phenomenal. There's so many great, and it's not the same one every night. There's such a great variety all month long. Please take some time and tune in. There are some awesome people. And for this group, we always close with this phrase, and it's very close and dear to so many of us who have children that have served or are currently serving in the military. But we always ask you to please keep the men and women armed forces in your thoughts and prayers. And remember, never forgetting means never forgetting. Thank you. Be safe and God bless you. We'll see you next time.